You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale here with you today on this Hump Day Wednesday edition. Nathan had run out to spend some time with Mike Pettine before Mike Pettine gets his five-day break. And, you know, here we are. We sit at 2-8. You know, where do we look? What do we do? And I think you question a lot of things about the Cleveland Browns organization and where they go next. And for me, as a former player, the one thing that I question most is how do these players, along with Johnny Manziel, I'll throw him in there. He's not any greater than any one teammate, team member of this football team. But how do these guys use this time away to decompress, to get away from football, and yet come back motivated? Because, Dino, I think it's very unique that while they're going to have the break, you know, right after a break because of the Thursday night football game, so they've gotten a little snippet of time, and then they lose to the Steelers the way they did, then they get another break and have an extra day to prepare for the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night with everybody league-wide, worldwide, watching that football game.
And here's the thing. We get callers, whether it's on this show or on the Hooley show or any show here at ESPN Cleveland, where people will call in and say, well, Johnny Manziel just needs to stay in the facility and work during the bye. You know, that's not reality, folks. You need to take a few days away. You need to, I thought you used the perfect word, decompress. Doesn't mean he's not invested. Doesn't mean he doesn't understand the responsibilities of the job. But at some point, you need to also get a little break.
Yeah.
It's what you do on the break, though, that I think is important. And Johnny said it yesterday. He says he's not going to humiliate or embarrass the organization. He's going to be very responsible about it. Great. All I need to hear.
I see. I agree with that as well. And I think Mike Pettine had put it best all offseason and referencing Johnny Manziel, you know, once he had kind of, you know, stepped out of the rehabilitation facility and just being a Brown, just being a teammate. And I know that, you know, we or a lot of people outside the building treat him otherwise as the star, as the phenomena that football is and was and potentially maybe will be, that if I were him, getting out of town is not a bad idea. Getting out of town to just go somewhere just to be ordinary. And I think if you look at Johnny Manziel, the number of recognizable, you know, CEOs out there in the world that, you know, in Silicon Valley, the Ellisons of the world and the, you know, I guess formerly Steve Jobs of the world, that it's probably hard for them to go places and just relax too. So when you finally do, I think just either going to Texas and, you know, enjoying your family for a couple days and watching football and becoming a fan again about a game that you love and just watching and not really caring who wins or loses, because at this point at 2-8, it really doesn't matter who wins or loses. It has no bearing on what you do. You dive into some film, you know, via your Microsoft Surface, you know, for a few hours a day to stay in the game.
Yes.
Slightly. And then come back, you know, ready, willing, and able. And as I mentioned, just with Johnny himself and the rest of these guys, their performance from this point forward is as important to who they are as their performance through the first six games of the season was in trying to rebound and get off to a great start. So I just want to see these guys come back motivated, you know, enamored with the game of football. We do have some calls. Let's hear from Stan in Brooklyn.
How are you?
Hi,
good,
Stan.
What's up?
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
we
Stan,
got
we
you loud and clear.
You.
Okay. Me being a seasoned veteran and what players should do on their time off, I am a very, very – I used to be poor handicap in golf, all right? And, you know, I get Golf Digest, the top 100 players in sports – out of those top 100, 25 are NFL players, okay? So my suggestion to Johnny is go someplace. There's a lot of venues where you can go secluded, have the beach there, have your golf there, have an iPad with you. accessible to technology. You can study the playbook from there and take your time. And, you know, I wish him well. I wish the Browns well. You know, I wish you all well, because I want you to continue as the voice of the Cleveland Browns.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate
that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stan.
Thanks, Stan.
That might have. I'm sorry. I'm giving Stan a round of applause. That might have been Stan's best call ever.
It was clear, concise, to the point.
Yep.
Right. And a compliment there at the end to close it out.
Yeah.
And you know what? He brings up a great point. So thank you, Stan, very much for the call. And what he kind of laid out for Johnny, I kind of hope is matched by the remainder of that roster, because everyone's thinking now that he's been named the starter, he's got to overemphasize everything that he's going to do to be prepared as a starter. And I would think the mentality of the other 52 individuals in this locker whose career hangs, you know, in jeopardy right now, whether it's here in Cleveland, whether it's somewhere else, whether it's retirement. And as I mentioned prior to taking Stan's call, you know, their reputation and their resume and their legacy as a National Football League player is linked to how they finish this football year. And so while Johnny, you know, some people might say, oh, yeah, he can't leave town because of this, that, and the other reason, because he's now named the starter. What about the other starters that have been underperforming or underwhelming all season long that has led us down, you know, the road that is 2-8?
I loved actually Stan's prescription there. Find a beach, play some golf, take your iPad, and do what you need to do to get yourself in the right frame of mind, and then come back.
Got it.
I love it.
That's it.
I'd like to have that vacation.
With 5 days away, and I know that in today's world, you give people an inch, they take it a mile. When you get 5 days off, doesn't mean you have to have a 4.5-day vacation, you know, and turn the switch off in its entirety and go dark. But getting away for 48 hours, getting a breath of fresh air, you know, not thinking about football is not a bad thing. So let's go back to the calls. Let's get from Mike in Northern California.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So exciting. So exciting. I'm having a spiritual experience just being a part of this show.
Good, man. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm relieved of my worries. What better energy? This kid's got great energy. What greater way to inspire the town, to inspire the team, but to get this kid in here? I'm excited to see it. I can hardly wait. I think the offensive line did a heck of a lot better in the Pittsburgh game. It seemed like he had time at moments. That was really good.
They did.
Yeah, I'd really like to see Matt, you and Darod. I listen to Darod talk, man. That guy is inspiring. I'd like to see you guys on the coaching staff. You know, on a different note, Josh McCown has been suicidal in so many cases. I think the guy wanted to be like Johnny. I think he loves Johnny's talent. It's been very interesting. It was going to happen anyways, no matter what happened. You know, it was going to happen. So, and that's why they drafted him. So, hip hip hooray! Let's root for the Browns. Let's get into it, and let's watch things grow.
You're awesome, man. Thank you very much for the call away from Northern California. And you know, to your point, I think that Josh McCown might not want to be Johnny Manziel, but I think at this point in Josh McCown's career, where you know this is most likely your last stop, and it's going to be it's the end of the road, might as well go all in on a kid that's got hopefully a decade worth of football still ahead of him. And as I mentioned yesterday, and even Monday when you know Johnny was named the starter, the investment that we made in Josh McCown prior to this season, whatever that number is, $6-7 million to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, when we signed him, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that he would be our starter. It was still Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel. And as the season went on, of course, Josh McCown went and got and earned that starting position. But we knew in signing him that he was open-minded about being a mentor, being a leader, and taking a back seat to a young, developing quarterback, and that's exactly what we get. And I think having a young quarterback, as I mentioned yesterday and asked the question to Johnny Manziel, in Kevin O'Connell, who's got a great relationship, is a big deal and a great thing for Johnny's growth. And I think having Josh McCown, a guy that's been there and done that, in his, I don't say in his ear, telling him what he's doing wrong or right, but putting himself in Johnny's shoes. What are you seeing? Where would you go to the foot with the football? So on and so forth, is only going to help Johnny. And as I continue to talk about it, shorten that curve for Johnny to be better each and every week and take incremental small steps towards being and earning the real starting competition or the starting job here in Cleveland. Back to the phones. One more before we grab a break. Let's go to Al and Lorraine.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Al.
Hey, I was thinking about this as a different way. I listened to the show before you guys come on, you know, for 3 days. And I hear this individual, no names please, that wants to lose to get a first-round draft pick. Are you kidding me? Let's go the other route. Let's go 4-2. So we got our quarterback, and still we'd be 6-10, and we could still pick up a big-time receiver. And in the second round, we could pick up a good defensive player. And you know, you could turn things around. I just don't understand. You want to lose. I just don't get that.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for the call, Al. We appreciate it. I can see both sides of the coin. You know, the whole fail for Cardale mentality or fail for whoever you essentially want to get to have the pick of the litter in the NFL draft. But the one of the biggest things that I think the Cleveland Browns as a franchise, regardless of the players, regardless of the quarterback, that they have yet to overcome is becoming a winner. And that winning culture and winning at all costs mentality, because they've lost so consistently. We're the polar opposite of everything we want to do. And that I just think that, you know, wanting to lose football games or breeding a culture of wanting to lose football games so that you can secure what you feel like is a gift with the number one overall pick or number two overall pick and get the pick of the litter continues, while we'll get the asset in the pick of the litter, it continues the downward spiral of the organization and that losing mentality. Dino, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so in exchange for the number one pick, you're going to continue to have a negative, dark cloud of losing mindset hovering over this building and hovering over First Energy Stadium.
Yeah, look, I understand fans having there's an appeal with having the first overall pick in the draft. I completely understand.
It'll make our show interesting all offseason long.
Yes,
you know that, Dino.
I completely understand that. You know, that was another part of Hooley's discussion. If you do end up getting the first overall pick, you know, trade in, get a king's ransom. You know, we'll spend months. If that's the case, we'll spend months talking about to trade, not to trade, which quarterback to take, all that stuff. I mean, I get that. But I'm with the caller. I'm with Al. I would love it if the Browns finished out 4-2. I would love it because it shows real progress, and you don't get the feeling then you have to blow everything up.
Correct. And I think that the last 6 weeks, to me, if I were Ray Farmer or Mike Pettin, you know, whether their jobs are in jeopardy or not, this is where you truly evaluate who's playing like a Brown and who's not. Who do you want to go to war with next year and who do you not? Because the getting's not good. And I hate to say you're not playing for nothing, but you're not playing for the playoffs. You're
No.
playing for pride. You're playing for each other. You're playing to fulfill your duties in regards to signing your contract and earning whatever that sum of money is. And I think I would evaluate these guys both individually and collectively and go, who do I want to go to war with next year? I know where we potentially could draft. I know the number of assets that we can add. We hope that we fine-tune the process via free agency to go out and get guys that want to come here and not just collect a check, but actively participate in winning football games for more than just a year or two.
Right.
Okay, we figured that out. But who on this current team do I want to go to battle with?
Right. You've got a half dozen players who are eligible for free agency in the offseason. Guys like Barnage, Benjamin, Schwartz, Gibson.
Yep.
You know, Do you want to go out, you know, overpay and keep some of these guys around and have them be core pieces to your future?
Yeah, and you have to think. I mean, and I'm not talking negative. This is just real talk. We don't owe any more money to Whitner. We don't owe any more money to Andrew Hawkins. We don't owe any more money to Dansby. We don't owe any money next year to Starks.
Right.
You know, we can evaluate those vets and
right.
go, hey, you know, Are they playing like a – because I just feel like in life in general, it's like how someone reacts in the face of adversity, to me, determines who you are as a person. Do you rise above and supersede, or do you cower down and think, woe is me, can I hit the fast-forward button, can I hit the eject button and get out of Cleveland as fast as possible? And that's what – you know, that's where I would love to dive in, because I know the mentality of the professional athlete. The guys right now that are planning their off-season vacations during this bye week, the guys that are making arrangements to have their cars picked up and shipped back, you know, to Florida, to Texas, to the Carolinas, to California, the guys that are, you know, figuring out the deals with their, you know, the lease on their apartment or their condo that they have here or their rental agreement here for the six-month period or eight-month period that is the football season, because that means they've got one foot in the parking lot, and those are the guys that I don't want to go to war with.
Right, they're the ones who are not fully invested.
They're not. They're not fully invested in the Cleveland Browns, and they're not really in full. I don't think in some cases they're not really fully invested in this city.
You know what? And if that's the case, we don't want them.
Good riddance.
Yep.
So let's grab a break, Dino. You're listening to Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.